Good afternoon, everybody.
We have a very beautiful chapter to discuss today, metaphysical healing. There are many methods to heal, and I suppose if you were drowning, you wouldn't be concerned about the method that was used to get you well. If somebody sent out a crab net, you'd accept it. So we know that when a person is in a state of need, the only thing they're concerned about at the moment is how to fulfill the need. If there's water on the knee, they want the water off the knee. If there's a rib that's turned the wrong way, they want it straight. Nobody really cares who does it or how. Just get it done with the least possible pain, the least fuss, and the least expense. Now, although metaphysicians everywhere have their own methods, although Materia Medica has its methods, psychiatry its methods, astrologers their methods, it must be seen that neither Buddha nor Jesus was sent to earth by God to heal the world of disease or to remove mankind from his problems. Healing was not the ministry of either Buddha, Jesus, or any of the so-called great healers of spirit. Yes, they did show forth healings. But there was a greater purpose than merely to straighten a rib or remove water on the knee or in any way to remove sin, disease, crime, and the other forms of problems that face humanhood. Jesus specifically was here to reveal that there is an invisible government of God on earth. There is a universe unsuspected, unseen, but present and functioning at full, perfect power. And that every man had the privilege and the equal opportunity to touch that kingdom of God on earth by finding that spot within himself which was called I, the Father within. And then not only would come a healing of the rib or the water on the knee or any other physical or mental problem that beset the individual, but something far greater that could not be discovered in any other way than through the discovery of the inner I. And that something was the realization that I am now being guided, directed from within by an invisible infinite power, which is not looking at me in a limited lifespan, but is seeing the fullness of my being, the timelessness of my being, the eternal life of my being, and all of this inner guidance is focused not only on the moment, but on the fullness of my eternal life. This is revealed from within and does give you the confidence and the assurance that you are not walking alone. You are not living a human lifespan, but rather you are living a divine life under divine guidance with no end to it, just as it really has no beginning. This realization is a healing quite different than the resetting of a bone or the removal of a virus, but it embraces these things too. It is a healing which removes us from the false sense of life under which we feel separated from divinity. It is a healing which restores to us the activity of our own soul and brings us under that grace which makes possible the life that is lived without the karma which follows each individual today on this earth. Now take yourself. There is a plan that has brought you here. If you are not aware of it, it is very unlikely that you will walk in that plan. And so you will spend many years performing certain activities on this earth which are irrelevant to your specific mission. And because of the irrelevance of your activities to that mission, you are not walking in your divine path. And this constitutes the nature of karma, or cause and effect. You must be in the cause that is divine, or walking out of it, you automatically are increasing your debt. You are building up a pyramid of activities which have nothing to do with a divine plan for you. And your healing comes when there is within you an immaculate conception, the dawning of a new consciousness which brings not only a new body and a new mind, but a new life. A life that is the divine life itself, fulfilling itself, expressing itself, unimpeded by human thought. And then you may be said to be healed, for you are then one with your Father, living in the new heaven on the new earth. Now, this was the kind of healing which is Christ healing. And in order to experience it, we are told that we must enter into what is called a practitioner consciousness, or a God consciousness, or an I am consciousness, or a fourth dimension of consciousness. And it would be well for us to look at that kind of consciousness and see what it must realize. Against it, we might measure the level to which we have risen and see where perhaps we have fallen short of this practitioner consciousness. Now, Jesus, of course, is the ideal practitioner consciousness. And all of us are moving toward that Christ consciousness in Him, which was able to say, I have overcome this world. And by that he meant that he had stepped out of the world of thought. The world consciousness, the universal beliefs that man accepts knowingly and unknowingly, were no longer functioning in his mind. He was able to be free of world thought. He was not hypnotized. He was able to look at the material world and see it for what it is. Thought forms. images in mind. And he reached a conclusion that is very strange even to us today. A conclusion which said that there is no world outside of my being. There is no external universe to the Christ of Jesus. The Christ of Jesus embodies its own universe and is the law unto it and has dominion over it. And we are called upon to follow in those footsteps which took dominion over its infinite universe, and to see that outside of infinity, nothing can exist. That infinity is the only existence, that infinity never can be less than infinite. And because infinity is all there is, only infinity exists. Therefore, in the Christ consciousness, there is an awareness that nothing finite exists. No finite form, no finite object, no finite person, no finite thing. And any deviation from that is trying to make God separated from God. And so you are building your practitioner consciousness when you can find within you an acceptance of his discovery that infinity is the only being, and that what man calls God is that infinite being, and never less than itself. And that infinite being individualizes, and we see it through our glass darkly of human vision, as individual forms, finite forms. And this he knew to be untrue. Behind every finite form is the one infinite self expressing itself, appearing to limited finite vision as the form we see. And so the practitioner consciousness can never honor the form. It can never honor the person. It can never honor the condition. They are all finite. The practitioner consciousness must dwell in the invisible, in God, in truth, in reality, in the invisible universe that Jesus revealed to be on this earth. And there must find the spiritual identity of that which is called a patient. And there must recognize the divinity of that patient, not as a finite form, not as a person with a claim, but as the individualization of infinity, spirit itself, unseparated from itself, whole and complete, completely under perfect spiritual law. To bring it down into something perhaps a little easier to follow, if you put yourself in the place of the practitioner, and I come to you, you must not see the form. And therefore you cannot look only with your human eyes. Your five senses are no good to you in making your treatment. You must look only to God. You turn away from the finite form with the realization that it is a mental image. And you go directly to God. You must turn away from your personal self so that you may be a transparency for the God to whom you have turned. And then the God to whom you have turned, being the infinite self, the personal self of you having been crucified, so that you may be a transparency for that infinite self, your next realization is that infinity is expressing where I am. And where that patient is, infinity must be expressing with equal force. Infinity is expressing here where I am and there where she is. Now you're resting only in the awareness of infinity expressing. You have forgotten the patient. You have forgotten the claim. You don't know if it's the left side or the right side or the toe or the head. You have forgotten yourself. You have accepted the allness of spirit, the infinity of spirit, which precludes any other possibility. You rest now in the infinity of spirit. And therefore you have no other power but the power of spirit. You have no other presence but the presence of spirit. You have no other law but the law of spirit, because you have no other substance. You have a spiritual universe which was the revelation of the Master. And therefore, having only a spiritual universe, you can only have spiritual law. You can only have perfect divine law functioning. And all around you, claims can be made, statements can be made that are untrue. Nothing can change the truth that only spirit is, and spirit is everywhere functioning without any power to oppose it. This is your consciousness. And in it you will find that peace which is the healer. As you rest in the truth of being, peace I leave with you. And this I that leaves the peace is the Christ being born in your consciousness. I, the Christ in the midst of you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. All of the world thought may explode against you, but you are dwelling in spiritual truth. And in this oasis of truth, my peace is born. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You are finding peace within your consciousness. And as that peace deepens and increases, it will reach a point where it will pass all understanding. And you will find that this is the kingdom of God within you, this peace that passeth all understanding. As you feel it, recognize it, respond to it, it's like sunshine coming through a pane of glass. You know something has happened to you. And what is happening is that infinity is making itself known as your own consciousness. You are being released from all personal selfhood. The I is being lifted. And as I am lifted in the midst of you, because I am infinite, I am lifted in the midst of your patience. And that is pronounced a healing. What did the patient actually do? If the patient sought a person for help, they received none. If the patient was seeking God, if the patient was seeking his own being, his own spiritual selfhood, if something in the patient was reaching out to find reality, then in coming to you, they have opened themselves. They have relinquished their personal belief. They have accepted the possibility that there is a power. The patient has nothing more to do. The only function a patient has is to ask for help. And to keep you advised and to acknowledge when the healing takes place so that you don't go on working forever. But we are not only going to discuss healing from the standpoint of a practitioner and a patient. None of us may aspire to be a practitioner. Nonetheless, we must be a practitioner unto ourselves. And so we must learn that even if, at the moment, our interest does not go beyond, nor do we anticipate others calling us, we must still know how to stand in the truth for ourselves. There will be many times when you find you can personally dispose of a claim. There will be other times when you find you need some help. But ultimately, the consciousness on earth will be the practitioner consciousness when everyone, without taking thought about it, automatically is living in the truth of being, where error has no place, where evil has no existence. For the world consciousness will be leavened and lifted by the I which you are releasing into world consciousness every time you touch the Spirit of God within yourself. Now, if you wish to be self-sufficient in Christ, there are many false assumptions that must be released from your consciousness. One of the most fundamental is to accept the fact that God knows what God is doing. That God is functioning. That God is in a very important place right now, and that place is always here. When you have accepted that God is here, that God knows what God is doing and God is functioning, then you must follow with the knowledge that because of this, all error is impossible and non-existent. If error is existent, then God is not here. And so your practitioner consciousness for yourself is the acceptance of God's presence and the automatic corollary of the non-existence of evil. Now you too must dispose of that mentality which sees evil, which reacts to evil, which strives to overcome and correct evil. Because you have just said it isn't here. It is non-existent. You're looking at an appearance which has no substance called evil. And now your practitioner consciousness does not resist that evil. It does not stir you into action. It does not make you run out to find some way to oppose it. Because you are accepting the allness of spirit, you are also accepting the nothingness of matter. The allness of spirit precludes the reality of matter. And the evil you see is a material condition. There can be no material condition without matter. Your higher consciousness, in the awareness of spirit as all, releases the concept of matter and rests in the knowledge that there is no material universe, that the world and all it contains is the lie about the spiritual infinity of God. You find a place where you can stand on infinite spirit as the only, and therefore infinite spirit functioning here right where evil appears. Then what removes the evil? It isn't removed. But there is a change in your consciousness. The truth in your consciousness lifts you out of the false concept which sees evil. And that which you had called evil disappears because it was no more than a concept. The practitioner never heals a body, because there is no body to be healed. There is no material universe. The healing, again, is the same as this concept being released. The concept of body appears visibly, but it clearly is not a God creation. A God creation would always be perfect. And therefore this body which appears in its imperfect state is not spirit, but our misperception of spirit. And like the railroad tracks, which come together, but only come together in your mind, not out there. So we see the material forms of this world as not being out there. They never get any further than the mind. And this is what Jesus meant by the kingdom of God is within you. This world is not my Father's kingdom. There is no truth in this world. All truth is in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God within you is your enlightened consciousness, which comes over the belief of form, of body, of claim, of condition, of material substance, and sees that these things exist only as world belief, individualized through individual minds as individual belief. There is no external universe to your true being. You cannot be finite. Spirit is infinite, and if you be spirit, you must be infinite, and there can be nothing external to your infinite self. Now we drop our personal concept of mind and body. And we recognize that each individual who dwells in a personal concept of mind and body is in an actual state of non-life, non-existence, pure concept, and subject to all world thought. We, in our practitioner consciousness, do not accept any identity other than spirit. For ourself or for our neighbor. Having established our own spiritual identity, we now love our neighbor as ourself, meaning we now recognize the spiritual identity of our neighbor. And because of the one infinite spirit, we recognize no individual who is anything other than the one spirit that I am. This is our bond. This is the invisible wire through which the so-called healing appears. Now, when you recognize within yourself the truth of being, that same truth is recognized in the other individual. And the truth in your consciousness becomes the truth in her consciousness. And this is the birth of the Christ in her at that moment, which releases spiritual identity and spiritual power and changes that individual's consciousness, so that the change of consciousness releases the concept of evil and says, oh, I'm healed. I'm better. But there was no healing. There was a concept dismissed and dissolved. A false concept. Because there was no evil to heal. There cannot be evil to heal in a spiritual universe. And this is basic for all of us. Now, the greatest obstacle, of course, is the image of the human body. It is a very difficult image to release, mostly because you're walking in one. Suppose you were to look into a TV screen and see a human form doing something on the screen. And now in your mind's eye, just enlarge that screen to life size, so that that figure you're looking at is about 5'6". Whatever it's doing, just look at a 5'6" figure, but it's on a television screen. Now take away the television screen and keep looking at the figure. If there were no screen there, would you know if that were just a figure on a screen or not? You might accept it as the real thing if you couldn't see the screen or the cabinet around it, especially if it were life size. Now, Jesus saw every form on earth that way. All walking on an invisible television screen. All concept. All responding to stimuli they knew not of. All saying, I am flesh and blood. All unaware that they were controlled. All unaware that they were not the divine image and likeness of God. All unaware of their own true self, which is the divine image and likeness of God. And he said, I will not heal a television image. There's nothing to heal. And his knowledge of the unreality of those forms constituted the healing. He was not hypnotized into improving a human body. And that improved the human body. He was not hypnotized into the belief that evil could occur in a human body, because he knew the all-presence of God, and knew that the all-presence of God and evil also being present would be impossible. And so your pure state of consciousness is that peace within which says, this is now here, the kingdom of spirit, of perfection in all things. And though the five senses can see and touch and experience those things called error or evil, sin or disease, suffering and death, these are images of the mind, appearing first in a world mind, then in an individual mind, through a process of which the world is unaware. But I can look at these with truth in my consciousness as the only weapon. And this truth in consciousness is Christ itself. This truth in consciousness is power. Truth in consciousness is the activity of God within you. And it needs no help from the human mind. Now, when you find this truth, something rings a bell in you. Joel calls it a click. There's a feeling of the descent of the Holy Ghost, a knowledge that something is happening, an invisible presence that has announced itself in a mysterious way. And you know you're no longer in human thought. Divine thought, in some manner or other, has supplanted your human thought. Divine thought is truth. And when this divine thought descends into your consciousness, you know the truth. And the truth does change your consciousness so that instead of perceiving error, you perceive truth. Instead of perceiving problems, you perceive solutions. With no effort on your part, with no predetermined idea on your part, with no outlining on your part, suddenly you are lifted out of the perception of error into the perception of non-error. And that is the way a healing takes place. Then that which you perceive within yourself as non-error externalizes as a form without error. Always, nothing has happened to change reality. Reality remains itself. The only change is in your concepts. The release of the false one and the truth that descends, which pronounces the truth within you in such a way that it now externalizes as form. The reason this healing consciousness has been withheld from the world at large is explained in several places in the Bible. And one of the best is when the 10 lepers are healed. It is said that the 10 lepers were cleansed. And one, perceiving that he was cleansed, got down, I think, on his hands and knees and thanked God. The others took it quite calmly, but their condition of cleansing did not remain. Only the one who thanked God became whole. And you know, this precedes the great revelation that the kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there, but within you. In other words, unless we recognize that there's nothing to heal, that we merely are here to apprehend the truth that the invisible kingdom of God is here and perfect and is the only reality, we're apt to think that we are somebody. We're apt to think that we have the power to heal. And we will be glorifying the personal self. Once that happens, that individual is through. Once the individual feels that he has the gift to go around healing people, he's going to hurt them rather than heal them. And mostly he's going to hurt himself, because none of us have the power to heal. The only power to heal lies in the recognition that perfection already exists. That only perfection is. That everything that needs healing has no existence. As long as there is anything that needs healing, this should be a signal to you that if a healing is necessary, you are dealing with that which is non-existent. If, for instance, you have a physical problem, you are dealing with non-existence. And in your recognition of it, you will find the need for the healing will diminish. You cannot have an imperfection that is real. Now, you're not going to go out and tell this to the world, because you'd be talking to those who would stone you, would think you're completely indifferent to world suffering. And when Jesus revealed the allness of God and the nothingness of human suffering, it was not understood. Always came the admonition, tell no man, for that reason. Only when you reach your own spiritual household of those who seek the ultimate truth can you freely pour forth the truth in your consciousness. Now, because freedom is what we're all seeking, and we're here to learn absolute truth, we must see clearly that any imperfection in our lives is a signal telling us that we are in a state of separation from the truth of our own being. None of us are here for the first time. You didn't suddenly erupt into the world 50 or 60 years ago. You are what in your last lesson perhaps you saw is an old soul. An old soul is that which has ever been. Actually, one of the great realizations of Jesus was one that you must come to, that I am as old as God. I could not be less, because God is all and God has never changed. I am as old as God. And the reason you must know this is because today's lesson is the high lesson, where facts must be faced. And if you're talking about metaphysical healing, unless thou seest me, thou seest the Father, is your consciousness. your not innate practitioner consciousness. I am not only as old as God, but all that the Father hath is mine. It didn't become mine 52 years ago. It didn't become yours, whatever your age is. Whatever you are must be spiritual, divine reality. And that doesn't have a beginning in time. And therefore, when you begin to see that you are an old soul, you begin to see, too, that you cannot be a new form but an old soul. And you begin to realize that the form is but your soul sending forth the reality of your being, which the outer consciousness is misperceiving into form. You recognize your own being as pre-existent to this form. You lose the worry about a limited lifespan. You expand into the realization that my soul knoweth my needs. My soul must be present. My soul is ever here. My soul is the infinite soul individualized. Before I speak, my soul shall answer. And this signal, this imperfection, should say to you instantly that you have neglected to realize who you are. You have been trapped into a human personality, a human body, a human form, a human life, a temporary lifespan, a physical being who was born and will die, and that isn't you at all. That's why the signal of imperfection is important. It is your own soul pressing the buttons, bringing you into an awareness that you are not walking in the divine plan, you're walking out in human will, walking away from yourself. And this is the calm. Now you want to heal it. And the healing comes when you return to your soul. For when you are walking in your soul, there's nothing to heal. There are no mental concepts that can be imperfect. When you are oned with yourself, now let's see our method of walking back into our own souls as one. Because God is everywhere, only God is there. And so we now have spirit everywhere and only spirit. We are sowing to the spirit and not to the flesh. We are going to find our peace beyond all understanding. I feel the presence then of the Spirit there, here, everywhere, infinite, and only the Spirit, and this is God, Omni-Spirit. What is the law of that Spirit? The law of God, perfect divine law. Therefore, everywhere now, Spirit is functioning perfectly. All divine idea in spirit is expressing. And in this divine idea is man, the divine image and likeness. And because only spirit is present, only the divine image and likeness is present under perfect spiritual law. This is the truth in my consciousness. This is the truth everywhere. It is not confined to a time or a place. And as you rest in this truth, there's no room in your thoughts for the opposite of this truth. Wherever spirit is, its qualities must be. Is spirit where you are? Yes, it is. And therefore, what are its qualities? For those qualities must be where you are too. We know that harmony is a quality of spirit. Right where you are, where spirit is, harmony must be. We know that peace is a quality of spirit. Right where you are, peace is. Right where you are, love is. Truth is. Justice is. There is nothing that spirit is that isn't exactly where you are at this moment. Where is the witness for these qualities? Who will bring them forth into visibility? They are there, and only they are there. And nothing on this earth can prevent them from functioning while they are there. So that while you volubly in the outer can be claiming all kinds of discord, only harmony is there. Only harmony. Only peace. Only truth. Only God. Only spirit. Only reality. Only perfection. This becomes the truth of your consciousness. We have walked away from the claim and the problem and the form until it is not in our consciousness. Truth has taken its place. Harmony, present, accepted, has taken its place. Spiritual identity has taken its place. Now you are a true witness. And the spirit which you witness in consciousness, which you accept, it is the Father which doeth the works. It performs its own work. And as it seeps through your consciousness, it will now externalize as the absence of that which you had called your problem. First, your truth in consciousness, and then it sets you free. But if you have truth and something else in consciousness, it will not set you free. You cannot adulterate the truth. You must find that level of consciousness in which the peace that passeth all understanding takes over. Then you have found the announcement, the annunciation of the truth within you. Then your external world will reflect that truth. And it makes no difference what your claim happens to be. Spirit is too pure to behold the nature of your claim. Spirit will always externalize itself through the consciousness which accepts itself to be spiritual identity. Now, this is more than physical healing. From this comes a vast wave of intelligence from within, an assurance that cannot fitly be described by any words, an assurance of knowing where you belong, where you must be, what you must do, and how to do it. You seem to find your eternal purpose with the recognition that what you are doing at this moment is part of that eternal purpose. And you find yourself being shifted from what you had been doing to what you now know you must do. You are walking in infinite oneness, guided by the invisible power of spirit, the infinite eye of the universe. And all over the universe, people you still haven't met are being shifted to. For your world is being governed by the infinite eye, moving all in your household into position so that you will soon find around you those who are part of your ministry. This is living in the will of the Father, not in the will of man. This is permitting the kingdom of God on earth in you. Now, many of us may feel that we're in the right place doing the right thing. But you can't be in the right place doing the right thing and expect to stay there rooted forever. Spirit's plans concern your life eternal. And because you have little way of discovering the eternal plan, unless you let Spirit govern the temporary plan, that which you are doing will have nothing to do with the eternal plan. And yet, when Spirit is governing your temporary plan, you can feel the rightness of it. You can feel the extension of it into timelessness. There isn't any individual, regardless of age or any condition, who instantly cannot feel in the rhythm of that spirit which says, I am come and I am here and I am now. And I am the law. To me, nothing is impossible. There's no individual on the face of the earth who does not have a perfect mission to perform, and it matters not if that individual is 20 or 60 or 90. At the instant of spiritual recognition, the law of spirit begins to move through that individual. None of us have passed our prime. There's no such thing. In spirit, we're not aging. We're not ailing. We're not suffering. But don't you see that at the moment of the recognition of your spiritual purpose, this is the true life. This is the rebirth into the divine plan. And in this divine plan, there is no opposing power. Just as the 9 lepers were cleansed but walked away, thinking, oh, that was nice of him, didn't realize that the power of God is the only power. So at the temple gate, beautiful, Peter and John were able to raise this other individual. And everybody went into a great stir about it. Why marvel ye, said Peter? Don't you realize that we haven't healed this man? He has merely come into the realization of Christ. his consciousness has been Christed.